Radio Influence. The future is now.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
It's welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is Ian Beckles. And Flavor in Your Ear, first of all, has been enlightening for me. I enjoy doing it every week. Back in the day when I was doing radio every day, Monday through Friday, I was able to get things out, and now I can't get them out as much. I only have that one show right now on the Bone on Sundays, 11 to 1, 102.5 The Bone. I'd like you to tune in. This week we're doing in studio. Normally we do it somewhere on location, but this podcast has been fun. I think it's probably 4 months, 5 months, something like that, been going on. People have been listening. People have been enjoying, and I've been definitely enjoying, bringing it to you people. Flavor in the Year is a show that sometimes we talk a lot of politics. Fortunately, we're not going to talk much politics this week, fortunately, because it's been engulfing a lot of people's news, and unfortunately, not a whole lot of it is positive in some people's eyes, although some people still see it as positive, but we're not going to go here today, okay? Today we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun because I've been talking to this young man for the last few minutes when he's been hanging out here in the Dignitary headquarters, and I think we have a lot in common. Next time he comes in town, we're definitely going to hang out because I think we like a lot of the same things. And I dug a little bit because I thought you deserved that. Brian Duffy's in the house. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? Good morning.
I'm chilling. Now, first of all, I know of you, okay? Okay. But I thought I'd have to dig a little deeper to see what you're all about. I understand that. Normally, I just try to bring things out of people. And we're still going to do that.
You're going to make me cry.
No, definitely not. No, definitely not.
We have fun, bro. No, no.
I'm not a big crier. I'm not a big crier. And I'm not like really a... We're not going to think that deep today.
Okay.
I'm not a deep thinker. Actually, that's not true. I think I think deep, but I keep that to myself.
I do it late night. Yeah. I'm a deep thinker late night.
Yeah. With any help?
A little bit.
A little bit of help?
A little bit of help.
It does help sometimes to have a little assistance want to think that a profound thoughts.
Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Anyways, we're going to talk about, obviously, food. That's your background. That's your life. That's your being. It's not my life and it's not my being, but it's a big part of what I'm about as well.
Right.
I love to cook. I love everything. Obviously, it's radio or it's a podcast, but everybody knows what I look like.
Okay.
You can't get like this without loving food.
Right. Exactly.
You agree with that, right?
I totally do. Okay. Look, I always say, look, despite my girlish figure, I always say, I actually eat pretty healthy.
Okay.
I mean, forget the Twix and Snickers that I had before I went to bed last night.
Okay.
But I typically eat fairly healthy.
Okay.
But I'm an eater, man. I love product.
Now, when you say eat healthy, I can't spit in this mic and say I eat healthy, okay?
Okay.
I think I eat healthier than I look, okay? Because I look like I eat everything, and some of that is true.
Right.
I go into spurts. Like, I'll go for a month where I swear I'll eat healthier than anybody.
Right.
And I'll cut out the drinking, and I'll cut out the shenanigans.
Yeah.
And then I'll hit something, and then a switch will go off, and then I catch myself in a three-week period of just not caring.
Just a downward spiral.
Yeah.
I do. I get that. And my big thing is I travel. So one of the I've been on the road for roughly 12 weeks now.
That makes it tough.
So it makes it really, really tough. And especially because I'm in and out of restaurants almost on a daily basis. And even when I get home, a lot of times I'm too tired to cook so my girls and I go out to eat all the time. I have daughters, as we were talking about earlier. I don't just roll around with girls hanging on my side. I have daughters
that'd be
that
cool
I go
too.
Home with.
Yeah.
But when I say that I eat healthy, what I mean by that is that when I do try to watch what I eat, but I'm very aware of the product that I eat that goes into my body. That's something that's big for me. So I'm not going to I'm not going to an Outback and having a steak. It's not going to happen.
I get it.
It's not going to happen for me. But I'll eat a 45 day dry age ribeye, knowing where the product came from, being an Allen Brothers or a Creekstone or something to that effect, knowing that it's clean, less antibiotics, less hormones, less of the chemicals that go into it, and have no problem with it.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, because yeah. I've been blessed. Okay, I've been blessed to have eaten some wonderful food.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you've eaten wonderful food,
it's tough.
And it's not knocking an Outback steak, but if I'm going to go that route, I'm going to go to Council Oak.
Okay.
Or I'm going to go to
you
Fleming's.
You are the second person.
Oh, Council Oak.
I'll tell you, Fleming's does a great job.
Fleming's has a wonderful piece of meat.
They do.
And they have a great atmosphere, too, which is very important to me.
Top three steaks you've ever had?
Top three steaks. Council Oak will be up there.
Okay.
I had a Peter Luger steak.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Peter Luger, when I was with the Jets briefly.
Okay.
Remember Jumbo Elliott?
Yeah.
That name?
Yeah.
Jumbo Elliott. I was going to go home in the hotel and go to sleep after a preseason game. And I just got there and he said, hey, man, where you going? I said, I'm going home to sleep, man. He goes, no, you're not. Come with us. So I walk out. There's a limousine. And we get in a limousine. It's myself and him and Jason Fabini and Kerry Jenkins. So it's four linemen.
Okay? Right.
I'm hanging out.
And in two limos, not one. You
no,
guys
just
took
one,
two.
Just oh, one. Okay. And as I'm in there, I'm thinking, but I remember just reading a story about Jumbo Elliott, and I think he got arrested for pissing in the girls' washroom in the sink.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so he must be a little bit wild, you know? So we're in the limousine, and we're having some drinks, and all of a sudden, his eyes start twitching, and he turned into an animal. And I was like, this is going to be a long night. Like, alcohol can't do that to you.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he did something.
Sure.
And that whole night progressed where.
What year was this?
This would have been 1999 or 2000.
Okay. So out of the Coke phase into.
Whatever phase it was.
Right. Because I mean, that was a whole different world.
Yeah. And listen, I like to, you know, sometimes set a tree on fire every once in a while. I do that.
Right.
But I don't really mess with it. I don't mess with anything. Not really. I just don't. Okay?
We're in the same Perfect. We're in the same room when we go out.
Okay. Good. Because, okay, you know, it's from the earth, you know. Whoever created put it here for us to indulge in, you know what I'm saying? But whatever he took made his eyes get twitchy and get funny, and the rest of the night was an adventure.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to Scores in the back door, and
oh,
he brought
shit.
Me to a room where I never knew should exist, and I walked in, and I felt very dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we went to a restaurant, and he was throwing around stuff in a restaurant, and we survived, didn't get arrested. But that's my Peter Luger story. Went through the back with the owner, with Jumbo Elliott, they sat us down, they fed us, they didn't charge us, and I don't know if it was the atmosphere or the steak itself.
Right.
But the steak was
absolutely. There's a lot that goes in with it, yeah.
It was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Okay.
And another.
I have never had a Peter Luger steak.
But you've heard.
But I mean, if you haven't, I mean, if you're a carnivore,
sure.
as we are, you know of Peter Luger. So, you know what? Now that you say it, I'll be in New York in 2 weeks.
You
I'm
have
going.
To.
I'm
and
going.
My third steak would be a steak that I cook on my Big Green Egg outside.
Okay.
I could cook a nice steak.
Okay.
You know, I get that egg to about 700.
Right.
And I sear it up real nice.
Okay.
And I put a little butter on at the end.
You have to.
Just because.
You have to.
And we can go from there.
Okay.
And how about yourself? Steaks.
Number one steak that I've ever had was at R2L in Philadelphia. A guy named Daniel Stern is the chef there, and it's a beautiful, and again, I think a lot of the ambiance had to do with that.
Sure.
It's on like the 25th floor of a building. It oversees the whole city, the whole nine yards, but it was a beautiful Creekstone Ranch dry-aged steak that was just cooked to perfection. Number two, Michael Jordan Steakhouse in Uncasville, Connecticut
what?
At the Mohegan Sun. I'm not kidding you. Holy shit.
Really?
Stop, sit back. And that's a close between first and second.
Okay.
It is a super, super tight. I mean,
Michael
that's like.
Michael Jordan Steakhouse.
Michael Jordan Steakhouse.
Is that the only one in the nation?
It could be the only one left.
In Connecticut?
No, it's in Uncasville, Connecticut, man.
That's the most obscure thing I've ever heard in my damn life.
Yeah, absolutely. And then third, I'm going to have to go with really being my own. My
okay,
own, which
sure.
I do a 45-age dry age. 45-day dry aging. The whole idea of dry aging, do you know the difference between the two?
I've heard it, but please explain.
Okay, so wet aging is a separate process that they're adding a chemical to it to kind of pull it back. But the dry age is the natural progression of keeping a high humidity temperature room so that a bacteria starts to grow on the outside mm-hmm. of the steak. During that process, the steak begins to shrink. So all of that that flavor is then concentrated down into this one piece of meat. So on a 45 day, you're taking a 16-pound ribeye and you're reducing it. You're cooking or not cooking. You're aging that to become all, like basically about a 12-pound product.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this super concentrated flavor. A lot of people can't handle a really, really dry aged steak because there's so much depth and so much flavor to it.
Why would somebody be scared of that?
Because one, it tastes odd. It doesn't taste like traditional beef because of the way that it ages. Okay. In reality, you're letting it go bad.
Okay.
In so many, and it's a very controlled atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I'm not just throwing it, you know, in my basement and letting it hang from a rack. It's a controlled atmosphere. You know what it is? It basically was yesterday afternoon when I got off the plane in Tampa. That was the perfect area for that. Was it was humid yesterday?
It's so humid here, so, dude. I mean, I sweat more than anybody. First of all,
yeah.
And I've been doing events since last Thursday. I'm not even gonna since last Thursday, which is about a week ago. I think I've done 8 events where 5 of them I was either emceeing or I was in a ring being a ring announcer.
Right.
So, and people say, well, make sure you dress up a little bit. I said, in all due respect.
Doesn't matter.
I can't wear a jacket at a boxing event.
Yeah.
Okay. Or yesterday I did, I was emceeing the Hall of Fame induction thing for IBF. And I had a jacket on. And as I'm standing up there, you know, on the podium, I could feel like sweat dripping from my hamstring to my calf.
Yeah, exactly.
I just sweat.
Down your back.
Yeah.
No, I know. I got
and
the
I'm,
same
I'm
stuff.
Not, I'm not a big fan. Yeah.
I've put washcloths or like washcloths in my armpits before. I've had to do stuff, I do a beer festival up in Connecticut.
Okay.
And it gets hot as shit.
Yeah,
man.
It does.
Unbelievable.
It does. Yeah.
So
now you're from Philadelphia. Yeah. Now I know a little bit about Philadelphia.
Okay.
I played for the Eagles for 2 years.
Right.
I lived in Cherry Hill.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to let you explain Philadelphia to me. Okay. You get a chance to travel around the whole world.
Okay.
So how would you describe Philadelphia to somebody that's not been there?
Well, okay. So one, I love my city.
Okay.
I absolutely love it. I love going out. I love the people. It is a Philly is white trash in New York City. And I mean that with the utmost love. I mean, like, I'm not even playing games, man. It's awesome.
Yes.
It's awesome. I mean, you walk the streets of Philadelphia and you will have every single walk of life that will come up to you. I mean,
not really come up to you. You'll
not come
see.
Up to you.
You'll see.
You'll see it, but you can, they're judging you as you're walking past them. Like, I've got Gucci shoes on right now. Like, I had a guy call me a pilgrim the other day. Because of my, he's like, nice fucking pilgrim shoes, dude.
Really?
And I was like, yeah, you have no idea.
Pilgrim shoes? Where would that come from?
Pilgrim shoes. I have no idea. He just saw them on the street and wanted to say that to me.
That's wonderful.
That's just Philly. We have so many amazing pockets throughout the whole city of just different ethnicities and diversities and every part of it. And right now, I just opened a restaurant up in a very, very tough neighborhood, total gentrification. I mean, we had a murder like 8 weeks ago around the corner. Nobody heard about it because the cops are like, look, we don't even want to say anything about
it. Really?
Because we're growing it up. Mm-hmm. You know, up until about 2-3 months ago, I had crack vials and heroin bags outside, and I found needles and all that stuff. We don't see as much of that anymore. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we also, my buddy bought a house up the street 10 years ago, $39,000, and the house at the end of his street just sold for $319,000.
Wow, that's
so
that's
to give you a full idea. And
yeah.
I met a city planner on the street the other day, because I'm in Philly and you just start talking to people. And he was telling me that one of the biggest problems they're having in this area is that a lot of these people, the people that are living there, the parents bought the houses and then the parents passed away and the kids just continued to live in the house. There was no transfer of title. Sure. There was nothing transferred over. So they're now trying to sell these houses and the parents died 15, 20 years ago. Mm. So there's no record of anything. So these people are having this horrible, horrible time trying to sell their houses. And all they really want to do is sell them because the market is just, it's massive.
But it sounds like you're
getting
in the right
early.
Area at the right time.
Hoping. It's a struggle. I'm not going to lie.
You
got to
take it for a little bit, though.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
I mean, you know, my goal was 3.3 mil in the first year. We're probably going to hit about 1.7, 1.8. So I'm about half.
Okay.
But a lot of changes have to happen with business.
Doubt.
I mean, you're a businessman as well. Sure. You got to restructure, redo it. But Philly is a Philly's a tough city, man.
It sure is.
You know, we're pissed off because we never win anything.
Mad,
furious,
so mad.
It's all the time.
Like it's like I explain it to people, yeah. and they look at me and they go, and I go, no, no, I'm being serious. Like I like played for the Buccaneers for 7 years and I went to Philadelphia. So when I,
where they're like nice down here.
I go, oh, please. I mean, Tampa Bay, Tampa, let me tell you something about Tampa fans, okay?
Okay.
Nicest in the NFL.
Yeah.
You can wear any jersey anywhere because nobody's from here.
Yeah.
Okay, who? Look, let me ask you this question. Who moves to Philadelphia?
Well, young kids now.
Are they?
Yeah.
You know who moves to Tampa? Everybody.
Everybody.
So everybody here is from somewhere else.
I was explained. Florida was explained to me when I graduated culinary school 24 years ago. I moved to the Keys. And somebody said to me, "You're moving to Florida. Do you know what Florida's like?" And I said, "I've never been to Florida." Mm-hmm. They said, "Florida's a funnel for the United States.
Okay.
Everything ends up in Florida, and all the shit ends up in the Keys." That's the way that it was explained to me.
See, I love the Keys.
I've had fun down there.
I love the Keys. I used to go there often. I have a good buddy of mine I played ball with in Philly, Steve Everett. You remember that name, Steve Everett?
Sure.
Our center. I used to hang out with him twice a year in the Keys, and he's crazy. You know, not to get to him, he's crazy. He's a guy who's taken me to 4 or 5 Slayer concerts.
See,
and
I've
hung out backstage
kind of
with the guys that Slayer. You a big Slayer fan?
No, but I'm getting into the heavy metal stuff now, so I'm starting to dig it a little bit more. I could do that.
See, now I grew up. You know, I've listened to hip hop since the beginning. Okay, you know, grew up with Michael Jackson and Jackson 5, as you can see some of this music in here. But I also grew up with Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and stuff like that, right?
Right.
So my buddy's playing next to me, you know, in Philadelphia. Stevie goes, "What do you listen to before the game?" And I would say, you know, I listen to Led Zeppelin or whatever. I listen to Mary J. Blige, all kind of crazy. He goes, "Listen to this," and he gives me Slayer, right? And I'm listening to it. I'm just freaking wigging out.
Yeah.
And so he goes, "Next week I'm going to go see them in concert. You want to come?" I go, "Sure, why not?" So we go to the concert, and we don't go in the crowd. We go backstage hanging out with the guys, right? So I look into the crowd. That's not where I want to be. There's nobody that looked like me in that crowd. We'll just say that.
I got you.
You know?
I got you.
So,
a lot of long hair.
No, a lot of long hair.
Okay.
But long hair and just people look like they crawled out from under a rock.
Yeah, there's a... Slayer's a...
Like, I don't know where these people work. You know what I mean? So, long story short, I've been like four or five times I've seen them backstage. The last time I saw them here at the amphitheater, I was in the dressing room. And as we're doing a Jägermeister shot, the door opens and Megadeth comes in and Slipknot comes in. Okay, so these are all like freakazoids.
Game on.
And I'm looking around and it's me and a whole room of freakazoids. And I just kind of shook my head and I was like, who could have imagined something like this?
What did you do?
I kind of had like an out-of-body experience a little bit. And I wasn't drunk.
Right.
I just kind of looked around. I was like, this is really weird.
Yeah.
Like, you know what Slipknot looks like?
Yeah.
So I was like, it's hard to explain. And I can't believe I didn't take a picture. Because it would have been one dark-skinned, 300-pound brother with his hand up. And then Slayer and Slipknot and everybody doing shots. And they'd be like, you know, remember in Sesame Street, one of these guys is doing his own thing? That was me.
That's
like,
you.
But I found that to have been me my whole life. I always find myself places where you probably don't see a lot of brothers.
Right.
And Slayer concerts definitely
That's
one of them.
Definitely one of them.
You know what I mean?
Right. I got you.
Music-wise, where do you go music-wise?
Everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
Everywhere. I am, this morning I had Michael Bublé on my room.
The great Canadian. I am Canadian born, by the way.
Oh, are you really?
I certainly am.
So my first, years ago, first time I was ever on TV, second time, was with a guy named Steve Levy in Philadelphia. I don't know. He was an awesome, awesome guy.
Sure.
Lives in Colorado now. Super good guy. And I'm doing my segment, and I was 20, God, I don't even know. Who cares? I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing this segment, and there was this guy who was on who was singing, and he was Canadian, and he kept hopping into my segments. It was fucking Michael Bublé.
Really?
Kept hopping into my segment, and my brother had done, and full circle, my brother is a producer and produced his Christmas show, and he remembered that segment. So,
well,
more power to
somebody. He's a big deal now.
He's going through a lot of stuff right now.
Like what?
His son has cancer, I believe,
really?
And there's something major that was going on with him, and I think he's just coming out of it or something. I didn't do a lot, and I probably should have done more research before I started to speak about it, but
Reading up, you studied French cuisine.
I did. I went to the restaurant school in Philadelphia, which is as anybody who goes to culinary school, you start off with the basics of French. Escoffier was the godfather of the kitchen. Okay. He was the guy who standardized all kitchens. He said, basically, I am the chef. I am, and from the chef runs Chef de Partie, runs Chef de Banquet, runs sous chefs, and it kind of rolls down. Sure. He's the guy who standardized recipes. He's the guy who standardized the brigade, the way that a kitchen line should be set up. He's like the man. He's the shit. He's the king.
Now, learning French cuisine, do you have to learn to speak French? I'm from Montreal.
Okay.
So I grew up speaking French. I didn't have a choice. Tu parles français?
No. Okay. I can speak culinary French and dishwasher Spanish. And
you probably say the French dishes correctly.
Yes, exactly. Okay. But I can't be like, you know.
I understand.
Yeah,
I
know Prochon.
Yeah.
That's it. I know how to order
cochon.
A beer. And I know how to order a beer. And that's about
cochon
it.
Too. That's pig, everybody.
Yeah. Well, the cochon, but I like Prochon, which was from when I was in France, it was beer. That's all I could say. Like Prochon. Like
Prochon, really?
That's
I don't know. It's just beer. In Montreal.
Well, I was ordering something else.
Well, you know, I think, you know, when you talk about languages and French in Montreal is going to be different than,
French
in France. It's just like if you go to England, the English is going to be different than it is in Ocala. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. I have friends in England, and I love the text messages and stuff like that that'll come through.
Probably very proper.
Some of them are proper.
Okay.
Because I've got like Essex friends that is kind of Essex is kind of like Northeast Philadelphia.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. So there's that. This one, I mean, I'll mention her. She's awesome. I think her name is, her Twitter is Tits and Tats.
I love her already.
And she's awesome.
I love her
already. Her name's Jules, and we've never met, but she's somebody who we text sometimes. 5 times a week, like just a really cool chick.
See, now you bring up Philadelphia again. I played there for 2 years, and Bubba Miller was a good friend of mine. We used to drive to the game together. And I remember the first year I was there, like I didn't know much about Philadelphia. I just knew they had great food there, and the fans were a little rough. That's all I knew. And I grew up in Montreal, then I went to Iowa, then I went to Indiana, and now I'm in Tampa. Okay, so. Not really
Iowa.
Rough. Yeah, I went to junior college in Forest City, Iowa.
Okay.
Yeah, very long story.
Okay.
It has a lot to do with how I turned out, which I don't know if it's good or bad, but I've been through a lot. So I've been to a bunch of places that weren't really hardened places. Montreal's not hardened.
No, not at all.
Okay, you've been there before. Culture, everybody has scarves.
I've been there, exactly.
You know? You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody has scarves and big boots, and everybody's real fashion, but it's not a hardened place. And I remember in Philadelphia driving to the game, and Bubba Miller was driving, and I looked over, and this guy just cold cocks his girl, punches the shit out of his girl, boom, on the side of the street. So I take my belt, my seatbelt off, and I open the door, and Bubba grabs me. He goes, "Where you going, dude?" I said, I'm gonna go. He goes, "Bruh, sit down." He goes, "This is not Tampa Bay." He goes, "You won't come back." And that's when I realized that Philadelphia,
it's a tough world.
It's a tough world. Yeah. And then we talk about fans and going to other stadiums. I just told you that. You can wear any other jersey in Tampa Bay, and you're okay.
Right.
When people say they're going to Philadelphia, and they go, "I'm going to go to Philadelphia, and I'm going to wear my Buccaneer jersey," and I go, "Sit down."
Yeah.
I go, "Look at my face." I won't smile.
Right.
I go, "Don't do that."
Yeah.
I go, "I'm telling you, that's not funny."
Right.
Because you're either going to fight, and somebody's going to kick the crap out of you.
We got passion, man.
But passion, okay, passion is one thing.
We got passion.
Okay, yeah, okay. When I played there.
See, it's my city, so I can say we have passion.
I understand.
And you can rip it apart.
No, I'm not ripping anything. I'm just telling you what I saw, okay? I was hurt 1 year, and I wasn't playing, and my daughter was being born here in Tampa Bay. So we were playing the Steelers, and it was towards the end of the game. I had to leave the game a little early to go to the airport. And I saw this guy with a Steelers jacket leaving early. I looked at his jacket on the way out. 40 people spat on him.
Oh, my God.
40. Like, on the back, I was like, I'm just thinking to myself, how many people would I let spit on me? You know what the number is?
Zero.
One.
Oh, a one. Okay.
It's after one person spits on me.
You take the jacket off.
One of us have to die.
Yeah.
One of us have to die, okay? Because, no, I'm not taking a jacket off. Nobody's going to make me take my jacket off.
Okay.
First of all, I'm more intelligent than that person to wear that jacket in there.
Okay? I agree.
But if you're wearing that jacket in there, I would have told you how it was going to turn out.
Right.
And the guy had to leave the stadium early.
Well, I did an event for NFL and James Beard in Dallas. Mm-hmm. It was the last Monday night game at Texas Stadium. And I'm not a huge sports guy,
okay.
And I'm not the type of guy. I mean, and I love sports.
Sure.
The respect that I have for athletes is amazing. I played football. I played rugby. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I almost went to the Junior Olympics for track and field. Like, I get...
In what?
In shot put and long jump.
Wow.
I was a big kid.
A long jump?
I was a very, very strong, and still am a very strong individual.
Okay.
And shot put and long jump, I was jumping as far as other kids were shot putting. So I was a very powerful, powerful kid. Yeah.
See, if you gave me 100 guesses, I don't think I would guess long jump.
But, I mean, I'm 5'9", I'm 245, 250 mm-hmm. right now. So
you were built a little different back
then. I was built a little different back then.
Sure, yeah,
and I was a wrestler. So I was a wrestler in track and field. So I was thin, but I was stocky as shit. I was wrestling like 125 in eighth grade. Which I don't know if that's big or not, because now I'm 250.
Look who you're talking to.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what? I weighed 150 when I was like 10.
70.
No, seriously. I mean, I was big early. You can't get this big.
See, I was a soccer player from 4 on. I ran track and field. But this is, you ready for this? When I ran track, I did shot put and long jump. So what's the point of running? Like, I didn't have to run.
No, I get that.
So along our route that we used to take to run, I dated a girl who lived along the way. Ooh. So I would stop at her house while everybody else ran.
Have a couple drinks.
And then I would, well, I mean, at 13, I'm not drinking a lot,
probably
but I'm
not.
Kissing.
Okay.
I'm making out.
Kissing is
I'm
cool.
Yeah.
At 13, it's real cool.
But my daughter's 13. She's not making out with anybody right now.
You're hoping not?
I know not. But if she was, she would make the right choice, and I'm good with that. But okay, so Dallas. So I go down to Dallas, and I'm not a jersey guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wear a jersey. I don't wear. Sure. I don't even know what I have on. This is a really cool hat that I got.
Magic
somebody gave
bullet.
To me. It's a hangover
cure.
So I go down, and we have a huge weekend. It's an Iron Chef style competition. 5 Dallas chefs against 5 Dallas or 5 Philly chefs.
Mm-hmm.
They bring us after this crazy, grandiose, over-the-top, red carpet weekend. They give us a police escort down I-4, if I'm not mistaken, which runs in through Dallas mm-hmm. into the stadium. We have a police escort. We go through the whole thing. We get there, and now they say, you guys have to put jerseys on.
Oh, really?
You guys have to wear jerseys. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'm playing the weekend. Mm-hmm. I got it. So I throw an Eagles jersey on. I throw an Eagles hat on. And we walk in, and everybody was gone. We had no more handlers. We had no more people.
Sure.
Our PR people weren't with us. Nobody was around. So now I walk in, and I'm like, and my buddy looks at me and says, well, where do we go? And I'm like, I don't know. We're in section 4.
No. Oh, no.
This is section 10. Let's go this way. So we walk around the whole stadium in Dallas jerseys or in Eagles jerseys.
It's awful.
And it was
bad, wasn't it?
Fuck you. Piece of shit.
Yeah.
Get the fuck.
Yeah,
which is funny because I've always been told that Dallas doesn't give a shit about us way that we care about Dallas.
That's not true.
But it was the greatest Monday night game in the history of Monday Night Football. That's what I've been told.
What year was that?
2008. So it was the last year of Texas Stadium.
Wow.
So it was the last Monday night game at the stadium. It was unbelievable.
Sure.
I mean, it was the camaraderie that ended up between Dallas and Philly, because the game was so tight. It just continued to flip-flop back and forth.
Sure.
And it was, I keep saying I felt like my ears were going to bleed because the dome was closed, and it was so loud.
Well, I wish I could tell. I don't know what you mean, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan in Montreal. That was my team. My whole room full of Dallas Cowboys.
You still
fan.
Have a little Canadian.
I know. I got a little something.
Twang
rolling
there.
Yeah, I got a little
twang.
Also, my parents are from the West Indies, so my stuff's all messed up.
So you've got it
all. You know what I mean? My tongue's all twisted up, and you know that's why I sound crazy. But I grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan, so my rookie year, we played the Cowboys twice. And, you know, growing up, what I mean, I knew everything about the Dallas Cowboys. I knew every player ever, you know, that ever played. So my rookie year, I had to go to Texas Stadium and play in Texas Stadium. So you always think you're ready for something.
Yeah.
Now that I look back, I wasn't ready because it was – you ever get overwhelmed?
Oh, my God. I mean, sometimes every day, but not to that level. That's a different level.
I get overwhelmed too.
Yeah.
Because I do a lot of things on whim. Like I said, I'm emceeing things. I'm going and I'm doing crazy stuff. But emceeing something and shitting on yourself is not the same as being on an NFL football field and shitting on yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm in Texas Stadium warming up beforehand in the shadow. And all of a sudden, I had an out-of-body thing to like, what is happening? Why am I here?
Right.
because my whole life, like, that was my goal, to be in that stadium.
Right.
And then finally when I was there, I got there and I just look at, I'm shaking, and I played like a horse's ass.
Really?
Well, I'm blocking Jim Jeffcoat, who I believe that was the last year of his career.
Wow.
So if I bet Jim Jeffcoat played 17 years. And I watched all of it.
Yeah.
So here is Jim Jeffcoat across from me, kicking my ass, and I can't do nothing about it. And I'm wondering, I'd like to be anywhere other than where I am right now. And I couldn't wait for that game to be freaking over. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I just talked to some fifth grade kids the other day, and I said to them, don't be scared of challenges.
Right.
And I think you have kids and I have kids, and I think these millennials, they're too scared to be uncomfortable.
Sure.
And I know from what you've done and what you're doing and what you've accomplished, you ain't scared of much. You ain't scared of much.
I've got to be an adult for my kids. That's my thing. I've got to teach them. I have to be a responsible human being for them. But fear, like, I'll go after whatever I want. That's how we live in my house. We are 100% in my house of go after what you want. I mean, my girls, my whole world is don't accept no for an answer. Mm. I mean, now, granted, if I, you know, can I go and smoke crack in the corner? No, you're not allowed.
No, you're not.
And that's a joke that we have. I mean, it's something that we do. But for me, my girls, I'll never forget. I came home after I was in Africa for like 10 days and I was done. I was spent. I was exhausted. I was rude. I was on edge. And I walked in. I couldn't wait to see my girls, but tired and everything else kind of took over. And I'm like, that's it. Give me your phones. Both of you go to your room. And my daughter came downstairs and she said, it was about 2 hours later. She said, Dad, I'm getting ready to go to bed. And I know how tired you are and I know how hard you've been working, but I really don't think that it was fair for you to take our phones from us because we really didn't do much wrong. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. So that's like my girls.
Okay.
So, but fear with that stuff, like I'll go after whatever I want.
Well, once again, you've done podcasts, done the culinary world, television.
TV, yeah.
I see t-shirts.
I have some t-shirts and hats that I do. I absolutely love hats.
You can look at my social media. If you can find a picture of me without a hat,
yeah,
I'll be shocked.
I just started not wearing them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, one, because I'm, like, bald. I'm, like, getting, like, it's all, like, I'm going away, man.
Well,
let
me say, look, I am bald.
You are.
But I have an oddly round head.
Yeah.
And when I wear hats all the time, if I walked around today, we should just let me take my hat off and walk around and have a camera.
Right.
And watch everybody. It'll shock them.
Yeah,
like they'll look at me and they'll turn their head and they'll say, "What did you do?" Because nobody ever sees my head.
Right. I get my business cards say that chef guy.
Okay.
Because everybody's like, "Aren't you that chef guy?"
Oh, that's what
most people do with me. If I have no hat, I get you look very familiar. If I have a flat cap, which is what I love, which are these, a flat bill. I get, you're that guy, you're that chef guy. If I wear my Jeff caps, which are like the Irish paperboy hats, it's an automatic that there's like a recognize.
Beautiful.
But I've kind of the last couple of weeks, I mean, I met somebody a couple of weeks ago, super nice woman, and I met her a year ago, and she said, I've never seen you without a hat. And the first night that we went out, I didn't have a hat on. And she's like, I don't even know who, like, I don't, like, I don't, you look totally different.
And that's a good thing, a bad thing. I think when I take my hat off and I just shave my beard.
Yeah.
When I shave my beard, I get 10 years younger. So it's a trick.
Yeah. I get older.
When you shave your beard?
I feel like I'm older when I shave my beard.
See,
I've never shaved. I haven't shaved in probably 16 or 17 years.
Really? You always have a little something.
I always have some. I mean, what I shave here, like on my neck, and I shave right along here because I'm starting to get like, you know, like it's growing up. I don't know.
Look, it's growing. How old are you?
45.
Ah, you're still young.
How old are you?
I'm starting 50.
Are you really?
Next month.
Correct. You look good, dude.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I get my workouts in, you know?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't?
I don't. Not as much as I should.
Sure, yeah. How many days you work out a week?
Zero.
It took you a while to count
zero.
It, too.
Okay. Yeah, it's one minus five.
Zero. Yeah, that's zero.
Zero.
It's
not good, okay. But I do try to pay attention to what I eat.
That's important.
And I do ride a Harley. So that raises my heart rate.
Well, that's cool. That's cool anyways. It brings your cool points
I've
up.
Got a mountain bike. I love being outside. I love hiking. But I don't ride it. Okay, I have one.
A mountain bike, it doesn't count. You have to get on it.
I have to get on it. Yeah. I love being outside. I love hiking. I love anything that has to do with outside. Unfortunately, it's very tough to do when you're on a plane.
And that's what's really hard is for the diet part of it as well. When you're always traveling around, being in hotels, you could set out to eat well, but boy, it's hard. But to look at a hotel menu and get something that's healthy for you, it's almost impossible.
I just watched today. I walked downstairs this morning. I guess about 7 o'clock. I had breakfast, and I walked over to the guy and said, "Hey, you know, I'd like an omelet." Onions and spinach, whatever it was. And the first thing he did is he reaches back and he grabs that ladle full of, quote, nobody can see the air quotes I'm throwing up, the butter, which is called Whirl, which is total trans fat. It's horrible for you. It's the worst thing. And I said, can I have that without it? And he looked at me and said, no.
Really?
He said, otherwise your omelet's going to stick to the pan. I said, great, then make me scrambled eggs, man. Like, I just can't even
have
that stuff.
You don't have any Pam anywhere?
I don't know what it was, but, like, that Whirl stuff, it makes me feel like shit.
Really?
Makes me feel like shit.
It's like Crisco?
It's not even Crisco. It's a straight trans fat. It's a butter alternative.
Wow.
And I don't eat that. I can't eat it.
Well, I mean, I don't worry too much about the butter parts of it. You know what I mean? No, really, seriously. Like, butter doesn't scare me. Fat on meat doesn't scare me.
Me neither.
Carbs scare me. Like, you know.
Carbs do. Well, carbs make me feel like shit.
Well, I can eat fat and lose weight. But you can't eat carbs.
No.
At all.
You can't.
And you can't drink alcohol. Mm-mm. At all.
Alcohol's so bad.
So bad.
I love Grey Goose and soda.
Me too.
God, I love Goose and soda.
Me too. Touch Vodka. You ever had some Touch Vodka?
No, I drink Grey Goose.
Well, Touch is local, so we know. We try.
I got Touch, but Touch is going to give me a hangover. I've done this. Dude, I've done
you've
this.
Done the
I've
whole
done
thing?
The research. So,
really?
So this is... So Tito's wanted to do something with an old podcast that I did. So one night I had gone out and... the night before, I was out with my boys, and I drank Goose and soda. And mm-hmm. I drank Goose and soda, three olives and a lime, single tall.
Delicious.
Okay? It's called Chef's Night Out, just so you know.
So just a Goose and soda. I've never done that, but I swear to God.
You're going to.
I'm going to.
It's Goose and soda, single tall.
So it's a little dirty.
So it's an ounce and a half of vodka or an ounce and a quarter of vodka, whatever the pour is for the place. And it's in a pint glass, so it's a 16-ounce pint.
So it's
16.
A light drink. It's not overwhelming.
It's light and it's not overwhelming. But the thing about it is that you can, this is going to sound like the alcoholic in me. You can drink 20 of them.
Sure.
If you have to. And I have.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
But if I were to do doubles, you're not making it through the rest of the night. You're not making it through the next morning.
I'm a doubles guy.
I can't do the doubles. Mm. Doubles. Because you know what? Because I also partake in flour. So I like my green.
I understand.
So I go through the shift, shall we say. But if I do doubles, there's no way. So I do Goose and soda, three olives, lime, single tall. And everybody looks at you and they go, that's really what you want? That's exactly what I want. I did it one night, hardcore. Next night, went out with some guys. I drank Tito's, same night out, same type of guys. And I was decapitated.
Done.
I was done. I was done. I literally, you talk about an outer body experience.
Sure.
My head, it beat the shit out of me for a full 12 hours. The next day, I went out again, same group of guys, had to drink Tito's. I walked over to the bartender. I handed him a $50 bill, and I said, I'm going to ask you tonight for Tito's and soda for the rest of the night, and you're going to pour me Goose, and that's the way that it's going to work. And you're going to hand me and say, here's your Tito's and soda,
Tito's
chef.
People?
I was with Tito's people.
Well, I understand that. Like, okay. But I'm going to say this, okay? I think hangovers and the way you feel in the morning a lot of times has to do with what else is happening in your body. I think a lot of times because you're dehydrated.
Well, see, I don't eat when I drink.
Well, then that can be a problem.
I don't eat when I drink. I'll eat late night after I drink.
After you drink.
Like when I come to Tampa,
do
a Miche, man. On 7th and Ybor.
A Miche.
Do a Miche, the pizza place.
Oh, I've never been there.
Holy shit.
Good stuff?
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
It's awesome.
I hate for somebody that lives in somewhere else to tell me about food
it's
in my town.
Awesome.
Really?
It's great New York-style pizza, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's like black and white inside, and it's an Italian. I mean, it is awesome. Great job.
You've eaten in Montreal before?
I've not eaten in Montreal.
What?
I have not eaten in
what?
Montreal. I know.
And what have you heard?
And what have I heard about it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's couture cuisine.
Absolutely.
It is totally, it is nouvelle, it is what, I mean, it's, I mean, it's up there. It's some amazing chefs, sure. But there's all that European influence that goes into that.
Sure.
So,
and how does your French influence affect the rest of your cooking? If somebody said, "How do you cook?" I don't know what I would say.
Right.
I like to grill. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to say this. I'm having people over. I just moved houses. I lived in a house that was too big. My kids are out now. I don't need that much house. Right. I moved in a smaller house, and I used to entertain every week.
Yeah.
And I haven't entertained in my new house yet.
Okay.
So Friday, tomorrow, I'm having some people over. So I have two big green eggs. I got them both going.
And why are we not going there for dinner?
Are you in town?
Is there a reason why we weren't invited?
If you're in town, please come over.
So all of a sudden happened?
Yeah, right? So I have, this morning I got up at 7 o'clock and I went to...
I mean, everybody I'm going, we're going out tomorrow. And I noticed the guy. And we're not going. There's something so wrong
with
this
think
right
now. Well, you're invited if you're going to be in town. Seriously. Well,
yeah, because we're on air now.
Okay. Yeah, right? I got ribs going, okay? I have my own spice. I have Dignitary spice.
Okay.
A lot of it, so we have a lot of rosemary. I'm a big rosemary guy.
I love rosemary.
Love rosemary to death.
So okay. I need to do a steak for you, maybe?
Okay.
Go ahead. So you're entertaining someone.
I have ribs right. I got up this morning at 7, got the ribs, and I put my spice on it till tomorrow, and then I'll salt it up tomorrow.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I got some watermelon salad that I go. I make a watermelon salad. I put a little bit of smoked salt on it.
Okay. What kind of salt do you use?
I actually have smoked alderwood salt.
Okay. So there's an amazing salt, and I don't know why I continue to talk about it. It's not like they've ever given me anything for it, but it is an amazing salt, and it's called Maldon.
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 Okay.
Yeah. So I need to...
Where do you get this Maldon stuff?
I mean, it's easier for you to just grab it at any of the specialty food shops that are around. Okay. Or just go onto Amazon and buy a 2.2-pound tub of it.
How do you spell it?
Maldon. And the cool part is it's a dried salt. So it's a sea salt. But the way that they do it is the water comes over these trays. Mm-hmm. And then as it starts to kind of dissipate, as everything comes out, as all the moisture comes out of it, the salt is left, there are these crystals that are little pyramids.
Wow.
So when you pick it up and you sprinkle it on your food, it's a finishing salt.
Really?
I talk about salt because salt makes a huge difference.
Please.
Whether you're using a Celtic sea salt or something really high in minerals, it makes a huge difference in what you do, your flavor is.
When I listen to chefs, the one thing they say, you can't cook without salt.
No.
There has to be something salty in your food or else it's going to be...
I have a salt tray in my kitchen. So I have a stainless steel, you know, like when you go to the bar and you see them grab olives and limes. So I have a stainless steel one that has like six different salts in it because I use different salts for different products.
Sexy.
So we'll talk about, we got to go back to steak in a minute here.
Absolutely. So I got ribs going. I got a watermelon salad that I got going on. I'll put some mint in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love it. Pinch of cayenne.
Yes. No. You know what I put in it?
What?
Aleppo pepper.
Okay.
A little Aleppo.
Have you heard about the new pepper?
No, they got a new pepper?
There's a new pepper that came out that is putting people into anaphylactic shock.
See, I don't want anything.
It's a hybrid. I don't know why.
Ghost peppers. Like that.
The ghost pepper's like a million Scoville units. This is like 12 million.
See, why do we need it?
Exactly.
But even ghost pepper, like, listen, my parents are West Indian, okay? So when I say hot sauce, I'm not talking about Tabasco.
Right.
I'm talking about the ones with the pimento and you know, the Trinidad hot sauce.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
Totally different.
So that's totally different.
Yeah.
So, but I can't put... You know, ghost peppers on people's food.
No.
I can eat it, but everybody else is like, oh, and they're sweating. And
you got to be
wise. You do stuff like
that.
I got some turkey legs this morning that my girl, Corrine, her mother makes it. Like, she goes, do you like jerk sauce? And I go, yeah, my mother makes the best. And she makes me a tub of it, and I make some jerk turkey legs on the egg.
Okay.
Mm.
Have you been to Trust Barbecue?
Where is that?
See, man, dude.
In Tampa?
What is going on? You know why? Because you don't make it up to Brandon.
That's not true. That's not true.
Not many
I go all the way to Plant City for my barbecue, smoking Aces. You been to Smoking Aces?
No.
Well, I'm about to take you. I'm about to take you. My guy's wings are maybe the best.
This is a Jamaican guy who met this Tampa woman, and they have a place, and I think it's called Trust Me Barbecue or Trust Me. It's on the right. I mean, it's on the right. When I go up, it's on the right hand side. There's a smoker cage out front, and then it's a small little white shack. Mm. And you walk in, and it's all Jamaican barbecue, but it's Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
The ribs are awesome.
Really?
Just drip. So good. Beautiful sauces. They do a great job. The brisket's delicious. Their chicken's really good.
Do you smoke meat?
I do. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Can you... Okay, that's my thing, okay? Like, I've done the competition stuff.
Yeah.
And on everything I love, the one thing I can't conquer... What am I going to say? What's the one meat I can't conquer?
Brisket.
Can't conquer it.
Okay, so the key to a really one, so the brisket that I do, so I do a brisket sandwich in my restaurant. We do a black pepper cheddar white bread that we make in the restaurant. And then we toast our black pepper cheddar white bread with brown butter. It's called beurre noir, beurre noisette. It's the type of butter, the style of butter that we use. I do an aged cheddar that goes on there. I do a smoked fennel slaw that we put on there as well. But my brisket, so we rub our brisket, and then I sous vide the brisket.
Let's talk
for
about
36
continue,
hours.
Continue, but I want to talk about sous vide when you come back. Okay. Go ahead.
36 hours I sous vide my brisket.
36 hours.
At 155 degrees. It just sits, and it's perfect. So sous vide, for anybody who's listening who doesn't understand, is like the optimum cooking atmosphere. It's basically like you're gently cooking something, and you will never overcook
In liquid?
In liquid, but it's in a plastic bag.
In a seal, yeah.
In a sealed bag, yeah. That's so it's crazy. Just a gentle circulation. And the way that I explain the way this sous vide works is, you remember the fish tank when you were a kid?
Yeah.
So you had a fish tank. You may have one now. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But the fish tank has a filter, and the water comes out of the filter, which forces the water to move around.
Sure.
And there's a long tube that has a thermometer in it. And that heats up or lowers, it either raises or lowers the temperature of the water, keeps it at a constant. This is a self-contained unit that has a little fan or a little propeller on the bottom of it with a thermometer attached to it, as well as with a temperature gauge.
So the thermometer is gauging the
temperature of the water and controlling the temperature of the water.
But not the meat, though.
Not the meat.
Okay.
But what's happening is the water is circulating around it at the exact same temperature for the exact same time, no matter what.
Now,
so yeah, then I smoke it for 4 hours after that.
After that. And is it just, oh my God, I got to get a sous vide thing. Dude. See, now, when I hear you talk, and I've said this many, many times before, chefs would have been scientists 30 years
ago. Well, we are.
There's no doubt in my mind. Like, it's to a T. I mean, what you just said is not what it used to be when you slap a piece of meat on the grill. It's not like that anymore.
But I love I love that method of doing it.
Sure.
For me, because I have restaurants, I must have the precision. And don't get me wrong, I have great friends who are barbecue guys. My buddy Chad Rosenthal, I've had him on my podcast. He's a barbecue guy.
You know Ray Lampe?
Yeah.
Ray,
I don't know him, but I know
Ray's
the name.
Ray's a good friend of mine.
Oh, yeah?
Good guy.
And those, barbecue. I mean, and those, like, he's a master.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's a scientist as well. Yes, he plays with that. And there is a true art form. One, cooking with wood, holding a constant temperature, keeping it so that it doesn't dry out, whatever you're doing, that you are babysitting a piece of meat.
See, that's what I do.
For 12, 14, 16, 18, 24 hours.
That's
huge art in that.
There is. And I've had a Big Green Egg for, I want to say, 15 years or so.
I can't
so.
Do an egg.
Why?
I don't, I'm a boxed smoker guy.
Really?
Yeah. See, I have a Bradley.
I've done a competition with a box smoker before.
Yeah.
And I won it.
Yeah.
So I think a smoker is a smoker. Whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Because I see people with these old school smokers, and it's just smoke.
It's just adding smoke in
it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the egg is sexy, and it's kind of like, the Big Green Egg's kind of like the Kleenex of smokers. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't really have a competition, really think about it. Yeah. And it's just kind of a thing. I'm an egghead and all this kind of, it's just smoking though.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
People smoke in their house. They put little wood chips on the little, you know, and tin foil and stuff like that. And I've not done that because I love to be outside. But it's so dang hot now. I understand, though.
Yeah.
I definitely understand.
Well, mine's a Bradley, so I have an electric smoker. And mine is mine uses pellets as opposed to briquettes or anything like that. And it forces them in. So I can set the temperature and the amount of time for smoke. And the reason why I do it this way is because I do so much research on smoking. So I can say, okay, well, this time I'm going to use cherry and apple wood, but I'm going to smoke it for 3 hours instead of four, and I'm going to lower the temperature by 10 degrees. So, like, I play research all the time.
See, now that's how everybody that
That's how I write it off.
What anybody, I talked to the kids yesterday, and I said, how many hours do they say it takes to master something? You've heard that number before, right? And one kid says 7. And I go, you're a little short. Another kid goes, 700. I'm like, 10,000. One kid actually goes, 10,000. I go, where'd you get that? My father told me.
Yeah.
I mean, how many hours you think you've put, like, in a kitchen?
Oh, my God.
Like, seriously, it's got to be, it's well over 50,000, I would think.
Oh, my.
Hours.
Easily. I mean, there's 100-hour weeks that go into being in kitchens. I mean, that's.
Especially when you're creating a restaurant.
When I was, I mean, I was the executive chef for McCormick & Schmick, if you know the brand, years ago. And I was doing 100 hours a week, man. Easily.
Really?
Easily. Because I was going in at 7 a.m. I was leaving at, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I was you know, on Saturdays, we're doing $25,000 in food. And and I was doing two menus a day. So I did a morning menu and a night menu. So my morning menu, my orders went in the night before to be delivered. And then I would have an afternoon menu that I would have other food delivered at night for dinner. So I was constantly rotating. I mean, I was living in restaurants. That's all I did for years, even when I was married. Sure. It's one of the reasons why I'm divorced. That and we just didn't get along. But
that helps.
But I mean, it's one of the reasons because I lived in restaurants
and
all the time.
That must be tough, okay? Coming home and you're exhausted.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm getting home at midnight most nights. You know, I'm walking upstairs and I'm giving my wife a kiss, you know, or, yeah, you know, if you're lucky, she might wake up and you might get lucky.
Night, night.
Other than that, I'm going downstairs, I'm watching TV for a little while before I fall asleep again. And then I'm back up at 6 or 7 to wake up with the girls and go to school.
No doubt. This is Ian Beckles, Flavor in the Year, and I'm talking to Brian Duffy, who's been here and there and everywhere. A lot of stuff on the Food Network, a lot of different, everything to do with food. I saw Spike on there, I believe.
I did Spike for 3 years.
Who have you been exposed to Food Network or culinary wise? Because I'm going to tell you what, I watch all of it. Okay. When it comes to food, I watch literally all of it. I'm watching Viceland. I'm watching Spike. I'm watching. Doesn't matter if it's food wise. I'm watching it.
But didn't Spike just change?
Spike is what I haven't watched as much. I think
they just sold.
They changed in January.
Yeah, this is the last season for Bar Rescue, yeah.
Yeah, you see, now this is the one thing for me, though, when it comes to food television. I have to be able to watch a show and learn how to cook.
Okay.
Like, I don't really want to watch
a reality show.
Nope.
I gotcha.
I don't like reality.
Yeah,
Even on Food Network, like, I love Triple D because somebody who's really good at cooking something is going to show me how to cook it.
What a great show.
It's brilliant.
Amazing. And you know what? And that's what every one of us wants to do.
Sure.
We want to travel around. We want to find the greatest places. And I've pitched shows like it. And I've done pilots for shows like that. I've done all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to crush it the way that he crushes it.
But that's a different crush, bro. Okay. But like Guy Fieri, like I was watching it from the beginning. Yeah. Like I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen every episode.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 times possibly. And at the beginning, I'm like, right away, I was like, I want to do the show here.
Yeah.
And he was just the first to do it, but he just found a template. And then it's the same show every time. And sometimes I put the Food Network on, and on purpose, I go with my wife, I go, look at this. And it's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And I go forward, 20 straight shows. How much money can he possibly make if he has 20 straight shows on a big-time network?
Yeah.
He's doing well. Banking.
He's doing well. I mean, I don't know what he's probably pulling in $100,000 an episode.
But what about the reruns?
Well,
sometimes the reruns are playing over and over and over.
That contract's got to be.
It's got to be leaned towards the Food Network.
It's really. It's got. Yeah. I mean, residuals within stuff like that. I just don't think they happen anymore. I mean, the only person that I know that owns every single show that he's ever done. No. Martin Yan.
Okay.
Martin Yan owns every show.
What was his big show?
PBS, Yan Can Cook. Way back.
I remember,
And you're 50.
Yeah. I remember.
But you were Canada for how long?
Canada until I was 18.
So that leaves you
I remember him.
Yeah. Yep. He owns every show that he ever did.
Really?
And he's probably the only one.
I see Bobby.
Maybe
Flay's
a Jacques
name
Pepin
everything.
In the original. You know what? More power to him. I beat Bobby Flay. Yep. I just did it last Monday. Yep. And more power to him, man. I mean, a lot of people think you get on TV and it's easy and you're running around. And like, they taped, I don't know, 2 seasons in 4 days.
What?
So you're talking about doing, they're doing 6 episodes a day in some cases.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
What?
So he's banging it out. I mean, I shot mine was at 9:15. I was out of there by 10:30.
Really?
And I'm not cooking. I'm just doing the judging end of it. So, I mean, but realize that they had the whole production value leading up to it first. I got there at 9:30. My episode, I left at 10:30 in the morning. So I was in green room. I was in makeup. I was in wardrobe. I was on air for 4 minutes and I was done. That was it, and then they were getting ready for the next one. So even if they do 4 a day,
sure. But that's, I didn't know they were done like that.
Well, that's the way a lot of them are done.
I'm sure. You got to be efficient with it.
I mean, you look at the Chew. They just won an Emmy as well, but sure. they shoot 5 episodes in one day.
Gosh darn it. I guess.
Maybe not one day. I can't remember what mine. I was one of the originals going to be on the Chew.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, and I really think what happened was they brought us in.
Instead of who?
For the pilot. And then they, instead of Michael Simon.
Okay. Or
Mario Batali guys. And I really think that what happened was they brought us in for pilot.
Okay.
And then sold the show and then pulled in the big talent. That's what I believe. That's what I believe.
I see what you're saying.
Which, whatever, I don't care. I mean, I got paid for it. Sure. I didn't give a shit. It was
there you
fun,
go. So. It's funny you say that and the timing of shows. I'm a big Viceland. I love Action Bronson.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know who Action Bronson? You don't know who Action Bronson is?
Okay, so I don't watch TV. I watch Netflix. I don't watch TV? Like regular. No, I don't have it.
Well, you can get it on Netflix. Do me a favor.
Okay.
Go pull up Action Bronson.
Okay. All right.
You will be in love.
All right.
I swear to God. Like, that's a perfect show to me. It's
okay.
Him. Action Bronson, he's a hip hop artist. He's a rapper.
Okay.
He's probably 320 pounds, big white guy with a big beard. And he's athletic. He played basketball and handball and stuff. And he hangs out with his boys. And his boys are a little thuggish. He got his the one brother with him and this other guy, big something. He's just got him out of the pen.
Right.
And they just walk around smoking hella weed and going and eating everywhere.
Oh,
and I mean,
geez.
Eating an abundance of food. And it's just, I watched the
Action
show.
Action Johnson.
Yeah, Action Bronson.
Action Bronson.
Action Bronson, like okay. Charles Bronson.
Okay.
He was on Malto Mario's show now on Viceland, which is called Moltissimo.
Yes.
And he was on that, and they were talking. He said, well, I got to go to the Jets game. I'm thinking, God dang, that's a long dang time ago. So there's 6 months ahead, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a long time, man.
They do a lot. I mean, it's all pre. It's all
crazy.
And you think about it, I mean, because it's just a business. So you've got to get in, crank it out, and go. Get in, crank it out, and go. And the cool part about it is when you get to that point, I mean, it's all styled. It's all ready for you.
Sure.
You know, you're walking in and you're just banging out episodes. So it's not like me. Like right now, I'm getting ready to do demos up in Spokane, Washington, and I've got another one in Atlantic City and stuff like that. And I'm like sitting around just writing recipes. Like, do I really want to do the same exact dish again?
How many books have you booked?
I don't have any books.
You have any books?
No, I've been writing one for like 10 years.
You're just waiting for that.
I just, you know, because one, it's a pain in the ass to sell.
I can see that.
I mean, I've even my literary. So I'm with William Morris. Okay. So WME, you know, I mean, I had a book, I had my writer, I had everything ready to go, and then my writer just all of a sudden just flaked out and stopped. Just I don't want to do
like
it.
Just like that.
Just like that. Like gave money back the whole nine yards. Yeah.
I thought about that myself, but anybody can create anything. It's selling it.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Like, I've had a couple clothing lines, and I got a couple barrels back here full of stuff if you want it.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know
I've
what I'm
got
saying?
The same stuff.
You know?
Yeah.
Actually, my boy right here, Steve Ross from the Kings of Merchandise, he does the merchandise for Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, cool.
And Ice Cube and Ice-T and Cypress Hill and some of those old school guys.
Well, it's easy to create, but the distribution is the really hard part.
Well, doing it for Insane Clown Posse, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's easier when you got a bunch of, you know, rabid people.
Yeah.
That love something that much.
Yeah.
You put it around them and they're going to eat it up.
Yeah.
But if you just create anything, it's hard to sell.
It's very hard to sell.
And you find out the hard way.
I've got spices and I've got hats and I've got t-shirts and,
sure.
You know, so I went from, all right, so I'm going to purchase hats and I'm going to have them done and I'm going to distribute them and I'm going to make whatever, $12 a hat.
Yeah.
Off of selling it.
A lot of work.
To now I have a guy up in Connecticut. Actually, well, I don't know why I'm so connected to Connecticut. But I have a guy up in Connecticut now, and he does all my hats for me. Mm-hmm. And you can go onto his website and pull them up through his stuff, through my link, the whole nine yards, and just buy them, and I make my, like, $5 a hat.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't have the time to distribute it.
Exactly. I mean,
and then dealing with distributors is fucking hard.
It is hard.
I have a packer in Allentown, Pennsylvania, who just can't seem to get it right.
Allentown. You know? That's where we had our camp around there. We had the
training. You guys were up at Lehigh.
And Bethlehem.
Yeah.
You been to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania?
I'm dating a girl who lives in Bethlehem.
It's an odd
Who's
place.
Who's from Bethlehem?
It's an odd place.
Well, I mean, that's where Jesus was kind of like, you know, he wrote. No, it's not. That was
dude,
a whole different
Bethlehem. And we would drive around.
Did you go to Bethlehem through Christmas?
No.
It's super cool.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. But in August, in July, you would drive around and everybody was kind of wave at you. And it just looked like the whole town was hiding something. I don't know what it was.
You know, they're still kind of stuck in that. So that part of Pennsylvania is still very, very poor. Very, very poor. The steel industry, the coal industry, a lot of that. I mean, it's all gone.
They're hurting.
Now, there are these younger groups of people like Pittston, Pennsylvania. Pittston has done an unbelievable job of rebuilding the town through the infrastructure of the younger families. Mm-hmm. So mom and dad live there, raise their kids there. The kids are still staying there and starting businesses. But then you go into, I don't know, Bethlehem and Allentown, and there's nothing going on. There's industry nothing. Just kind of got up and left. And
a little bit depressing. A little bit.
It is very depressing.
Like I go, hey, and everybody was kind of a little melancholy.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if everybody smoked the fat sack morning
you
or
drive,
what. But
you drive down Main Street, and 50% of the stores have for lease signs in the front of it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and then you've got coffee shop, embroidery shop, and I don't know, macrame. I have no idea. I mean, needlepoint.
Sure.
Like, and now with online and everything else, we just had another huge store in Philadelphia closed that was there for years. You know, it's just
everything is closed. Everything in this country.
Retail's tough, man.
Are you a political guy?
Retail. Am I a political guy?
Well, you don't watch television, which is good.
But don't get me wrong. I say I don't watch television. Like, I love Shameless. Have you seen Shameless?
I have not.
William H. Macy?
I have not.
Dude, it's the best work he's ever done.
Really?
He has 10 kids, and he's a drug addict alcoholic who has 47 lives. It is an amazing show. Have you seen Schitt's Creek?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
Is this all Netflix
Are you kidding
stuff?
Me? It's all Netflix and
okay,
stuff like
this
that.
Okay, that's the difference between me and you. You say you don't watch TV.
Right.
I don't watch Netflix.
Okay.
I just don't watch it.
Well, you gotta, if you get a chance, you know Eugene Levy?
Yes.
So Eugene Levy, American Pie?
Yeah.
Okay, his son is Dan Levy.
Okay.
His daughter is Sarah Levy. Catherine O'Hara from all the Eugene Levy movies, the wife and everything else. She is the wife. Dan Levy is his actual son. Mm-hmm. Sarah Levy is a waitress.
Okay.
They're billionaires. The IRS came in and took everything from them, except for the one thing they had, one thing that they left them, which is a town called Schitt's Creek. Okay. The mayor of Schitt's Creek Chris Elliott. Do you remember Chris Elliott? Something About Mary?
Yeah. Woogie? Absolutely.
He's the mayor. His name is Roland Schitt. His wife's name is Jocelyn Schitt.
On,
the
real.
Father's name is show. Horace Schitt. I'm not kidding you. And I cry. I'm telling you, brother, I sit down, and whether I'm smoking or not, I have tears pouring down my face.
Ignorant comedy, don't you? You like ignorant comedy.
I like something that takes me away from the end of the day.
What movies you watch when you want to laugh?
I don't watch movies. Old school.
Okay.
Old school makes me laugh.
Okay.
That's some funny shit.
No, it is.
We're going streaking.
It is. Now, I watch the same old movies over and over.
Okay, so give me two.
Two. I've seen Friday 100 times.
I don't know what Friday is.
You don't know what the movie Friday? Are you being serious?
I'm being dead serious.
That might be one of the biggest cult movies of all time. Really?
I've never seen Friday.
You've never, with Ice Cube and Chris Tucker?
No.
You've never heard of it either?
No.
Oh my God, what is this rock that you
Not
live under?
All.
Are you being serious?
I swear to God.
That is crazy.
But you got to realize also, I lived in kitchens.
Okay.
I lived in kitchens, so even when I was really like watching normal, like regular TV, not a Netflix or something like that, and even now, I don't like at the end of the day, I lay in bed and I'll update my social media stuff or talk to friends or something like that.
Somewhere
my
along
TV
the way, you
rarely
should have fallen
it
into
up.
This movie.
I've never seen it.
Do yourself a favor.
I just saw Superbad. I just saw Superbad.
Well, that's a funny movie.
2 years ago, for the first time.
That's a funny
Pineapple really? Express, same thing.
Well, they're all weed movies you're getting into here.
I know, I'm realizing.
Half-baked? You said half-baked?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Do yourself a favor. Go get a little bit of a fat sack going. And go get half-baked and go get Friday.
Okay.
Okay? Those are hilarious. But I've watched stuff like Ace Ventura over and over. It's just funny.
That's funny stuff.
You know?
But see, I like Yes Man.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
That was the one where everything in his life was kind of going bad, and he went to this motivational seminar, and he said, you're never allowed to say no again. You have to say yes to everything.
Oh, boy.
Which is odd. That's how I live my life now. Like, I rarely say no. Like, I try to never say no.
You say no in a roundabout way.
Well, I mean, if, you know, hey, Bri, can you go to Africa in June? Yes. And I'll figure it out. I take on way more than I ever should.
Well,
but I also don't want to miss experiences. That's why.
I get that. I think I'm kind of the same way, but not to that extreme. Like I'm not going to Africa.
I'm going to Africa to cook for the troops. I work with a group that called Messwort. So that's a different world. Well, that's a different world. I'm not going there to hang out and chew on cot.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but you're going to hate yourself if you don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Right. That must be great to have experiences like that. You ever catch yourself just shaking your head going, you know, way back in the day when I was this fat little kid in Montreal, everybody had dreams.
Right.
And now I look around sometimes, I'm like, this is weird.
Yes.
It's really, it happens. Very odd.
Totally.
It's good. When you say, you asked me before we came on, am I going to make you cry? Okay. First of all,
this is the moment. Here it comes. Somebody call Oprah.
No, I would never make anybody. I try not to go there personally. I try not to get too personal with people.
Right.
And this is the kind of person that I am. I love my life. Everything is wonderful.
Yeah.
And if I do catch myself crying, it's because I'm happy.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like
every now and then you got to just like.
I don't remember last time I cried because I was sad. Like I don't remember. I'm not a big crier anyways.
Right.
But I don't like when I'm like even when my parents passed, I had a few bouts where you know you're crazy, but there wasn't a lot of crying. I cried because I'm happy normally or I'm about to fight.
I remember, I think the last like. Good cry that I had was probably 2 years ago. A buddy of mine had passed away, and he was 49.
Mm-hmm.
49. And he was kind of like, he was like an uncle to me. He was a guy that, you know, you just like, you can't wait to see him. Super cool dude. And I remember when he passed away, and that hit me. Holy shit hard.
Yeah.
Holy shit hard.
Sure, absolutely.
But, yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah, but you can't get yourself prepared for that. And then when it happens, you... you know, that I see people.
It was like a 2 day, like emotional, like cry. Like I remember, like driving down the highway, having to pull over,
sure,
and being like, "Holy shit!" Yeah. Like that was a big one. But
and listen, things happen in people's lives, all the time. And I always say this: when things happen, I said, "Listen, I've been there. It's a tough situation, but let's go."
Yeah,
because you know what? If you sit there and you put yourself in a cocoon.
Oh my God, you're done.
Nobody else has time to worry about you.
Nobody gives a shit.
You're the only. Well, people give a shit, but they don't have time.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the only one that's going to get you out of your funk.
I think people don't give a shit anymore, though. Honestly,
they're starting not to
because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not just like, hey, you called me today. Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
And we have a conversation and we discuss.
Sure.
You know, I'm having a really tough day, and you and I, as friends, are discussing it.
Sure.
Because guess what? Now. I post on Facebook, I'm having a shit day. 500 people reply, I hope a day gets better for you. And then the next day go on, wow, I really appreciate that everybody was there for me yesterday. Thank you so much for my help. The personal interaction of having a shit day is almost gone because now we have to post about it.
See, now, once again, I'm very active on social media.
As am I.
And I love, so I think people think it's the devil.
I love it.
I think it's the best thing in the world.
It's pissing me off right now that I don't have a picture of you talking that I can put on my Instagram as we're speaking. Yes.
We can probably get that done before this is all over. But this is my thing. If you look back at my social media, I've posted one thing political, ever. One thing. And it was a day after the election.
Okay.
And this is all I posted. You guys told me that this couldn't happen.
Right.
That's all I said.
How many followers did you lose?
Some people were upset.
How many people hated you?
Quite a few.
Disgusting.
But listen, if you listen to my podcast, I'm very one. Like this, to me, there's not too many sides anymore.
Right.
Because if you're watching, you're like, what?
Like, have you seen Idiocracy?
I have not.
Okay. Idiocracy was a movie that came out in mid-early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it is exactly what is happening right now.
I believe that.
Do you remember? Okay, so who's the really jacked black dude? Who sings and dances. He was in a movie called Blended with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Oh, are you talking, Terry Crews? Terry Crews.
He is the president of the United States.
Really?
And he's totally jacked up and he's dressed like Apollo Creed in Rocky 2.
Yeah, sure.
It is unbelievable. The whole world is just dumb. They're stupid. And it is exactly, in a very roundabout way, it's what's happening right now.
Is the whole world dumb or are we dumb?
Everybody's dumb. The whole world is dumb.
I agree with you.
The whole world is dumb.
But I really believe that in a way, it's like we're in the Truman Show right now.
Yeah.
Like all the rest of the world is watching us on a television.
Yeah.
And they're going, we keep on saying we're the best country in the world to live, but I'm not sure anymore.
No, I agree.
I'm not sure anymore.
I agree.
Like, listen, I love America. I love this place, okay? But you can love it and question it.
I question it all the time.
You have to.
Well, for, I mean, just the conspiracy end of things alone. I mean, the agenda of our government and our Congress and Senate and everybody else is not for. I believe that they got into it for the people, but I believe that once they got in, it all turned shit. And I think that right now, and anybody can do whatever they want, I think that we are finally at a point where we have a president who the agenda is to really, truly get our country back to where it belongs. Okay. And I hope that he has the balls to keep going forward. And I'm not going to say that I'm a Trump supporter or not. I voted for him mm-hmm. because I wanted to see a change. Mm-hmm. I was not about to put another another career politician into it. And more shit got done in the first 100 days of this guy being in office. And it was kind of funny to watch because while everybody's bitching and moaning, he's in there signing executive orders and getting shit done. Do I agree with the wall? I don't agree with the wall. Sure. We're the land of the free. We're a land of the brave. We are built on the fact that we have allowed you and I would not be having this conversation right now if it was not for the opportunities that you took advantage of.
Correct.
And
Correct.
Advantage in a positive way, mm-hmm. not coming in here and living off of the government. You took advantage of the fact that you had a talent.
Correct.
And you were able to share that talent here.
And that's the American way.
And that's the American way.
But listen, a wall is a pipe dream. I don't know why people talk about the wall.
And we're still discussing.
It can't happen.
Yes. There's no way in hell.
And listen, I did not vote for him. I'm still okay with people that voted for him. This is my problem, okay? There was two choices. So if you didn't like one of the choices, you can't say the other choice is wrong. There's only two
choices.
But when
did it become okay to say that? Because that's what's happening.
I understand that. And to me, I don't know if Hillary is going to do any better. I don't know if she would have. I know this. Donald Trump may be the first politician that's telling us what's happening.
Yeah.
And I think the politicians hate it.
Right.
Because they're like, you're telling everybody.
What we're, yeah.
You're telling everybody how corrupt we are. We're seeing it. It's unfolding in front
exactly.
of us.
Exactly.
And there's no way he can last 4 years at this pace.
No.
Like, not when you have to defend yourself every day by saying something idiotic as hell. Not even little idiotic.
Right.
Idiotic as hell. Why would you? Why?
What the fuck are you thinking?
What
are you doing?
Okay, so somebody blows up at the Ariana Grande concert. They blow up these innocent people, and we have the person who runs the world up there, and he said loser 10 times. Somebody write his shit.
Right.
Like, okay, that's...
But...
Come on.
His acceptance speech was awesome. Until...
He started winging it.
Exactly. And then I was like, no, dude, go back left. Go left.
Yeah, dude.
Go left. I mean, it was like, fuck, he's...
Yeah.
And that's...
But his thoughts are odd.
Yeah,
they're,
totally.
They're odd. And... I hope it turns out well because before it happened, I said, this might be the best thing ever happened in the country. I didn't say this, okay?
Yeah.
I said, this might be the best thing to happen in the country because we have somebody that doesn't know anything about politics and doesn't give a shit about politics,
right.
And it may turn out the right way. And I was hoping that's the case. I just don't know if Donald Trump's the right guy to do it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I'm looking at my phone right now because there was a beautiful post that was put up the other day by a guy, and it's going to take me 1 second. It's really interesting radio to look at your phone.
It sure is.
While you do this. Trump, this is a guy named Cloyd Rivers who has like 1.4 million followers, whatever. I don't know who he is, but he's all about America.
Okay.
He does the America part. Trump could cure cancer and folks would protest it as anti-malignant bigotry, tumor-phobic and hateful appropriation of carcinogenic culture.
Okay.
That's what it is. No matter what he does, it's going to be construed as a negative world.
Okay.
And that's...
I'm going to give you an analogy.
Okay.
Okay. He created that.
Oh, totally.
Okay, so it didn't come from anywhere.
Right.
You know, so... You know what? You know why Floyd Mayweather is the best boxer ever?
Why?
Because he's making people hate him. You can't be great until people hate you.
Until they hate you.
So,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? So... When you watch a Floyd Mayweather fight, everybody really wants the other guy to win, but he's not going to. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And Donald Trump has a little of that in him. Like, Donald Trump's been winning his whole life in an odd way.
Yeah.
with people around him hating him.
Yeah.
And I try to be honest all the time. I hated Donald Trump before he ever ran.
Well, I think, I mean, yeah.
I hate, like, if you said, give me one guy in the whole nation that you hate, I would say, I hate Donald Trump. Donald Trump. I hate his face. I hate his hair. I hate his mannerisms.
Yeah.
His wife hates him. Clearly. Yeah.
Well, they did do the one thing where he was walking off the plane and she kind of pushed his hand away.
It happened more than once.
But the second one.
Yeah.
The second one was a miss because she actually went to fix her hair.
Oh, okay.
He reached down and she went to fix her hair.
Conveniently at that, right?
To hop back to the one thing about people's opinions and everything else, I remember standing in line at Rite Aid on Election Day, and there were a bunch of people talking. And I live in a very entitled area. There are a bunch of entitled assholes. I live in Bala Cynwyd. I live on the main line.
Well, we live in South Tampa, bro. Yeah. It's pretty entitled here, bro. It's pretty damn entitled here.
I guess I just haven't been hanging out because I've been in Brandon and Gibson tents.
Not South Tampa, my friend. People from South Tampa do not go anywhere close to Gibson tent.
I know.
They don't know where it is.
Like Kathy and Monica, they'd be like, yeah, Brian, great to hear you're in town. You can Uber to us now.
We're good.
You're more than welcome to meet us out. You can Uber down here.
What's the reason to leave South Tampa to go to Gibson tent? Give me one.
Features Gastropub.
I've been there. It's too many carnies.
Not in my place. It's in the movie theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but hold on. So I'm standing in Rite Aid.
You own the place?
I was the consulting chef on the property. Okay. So it's my food. Now you're gonna go.
I think. Yeah. What was the place that literally there was carnies in? What was the name of the place?
Oh, I don't even know.
It was Gibson's, but there was a name of. Me and Ron used to talk about it all the time.
One of the restaurants.
Yes, absolutely. And carnies used to call us from the restaurants. In Gibsonton.
Oh,
I'll get it before this show's over. But if you cook the food, I'm coming.
The food's good. They do a nice job.
Okay.
But I'm standing in line at Reddit, and everybody's talking, and they're going back and forth. And somebody said, I can't believe that anybody would vote for him. And I said, well, we do have an option and this and that. And this guy turns around and looks at me and said, did you vote for Trump? I said, yeah, I did. And he said, what are you, a fucking asshole? And I said, you do realize this is real life. Like, this isn't Facebook.
I know.
You're in front of me.
Yeah.
And we're having this conversation. And at that moment, I realized that we as a country are just in a fucked up place, man.
We are. And I heard some people say that Donald Trump being elective is going to make us less divisive as people. That didn't happen. We're way more divisive as we ever were.
Yeah.
And the fact that we had a black president is great.
I loved Obama. There were certain parts of what he did that I didn't agree with, but I really enjoyed him as being a president. And I think that one thing that he did was he really took care of a lot of people that were not taken care of in the past, and that be LGBTQRST. And everything that kind of followed with that. And I think that a lot of the decisions and a lot of the orders that were placed through generally had to do with the betterment of the people.
Okay.
That I don't think that it had to do with
business,
with lining a pocket or anything of that, or a business.
Does that scare you? Because listen, you say you don't watch television. Unfortunately for me, I watch a lot of television, and my brain is switched to politics, and it's the weirdest thing. I stayed away from my whole life.
Yeah.
Like, at nighttime, I'm watching politics. Even the shows on Viceland, Adizes and Mero, they're talking politics.
You get paid by Viceland?
No, I'm not.
I'm just double-checking over here.
Hey, but if
like
I did.
Like a spokesperson.
But if I did, would be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, but and anybody else who wants me to bring up your name a lot.
Viceland?
Yeah, this guy. Yeah. Hit me up at IanBeckles@dignitarycard.com. But, it's such a weird situation because now I watch all these shows politically, and it's the fear that's coming in me and what's being said by people and the accusations. I just keep on looking around and go, is anybody listening?
Yeah.
Like, is anybody listening? The connections everybody's making, and you can't have that many connections and nothing be going on. That's impossible.
I think that I honestly believe that people are not listening because
they're not.
We are so overwhelmed with all the shit that is going on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know where to watch the news right now. I really don't. I don't know who to.
There's no trust. The other day I heard somebody say, and this is it shocked me that they said it, okay? I was listening to Bill Maher, and I listen to everybody.
Yeah.
I listen to both sides. I said, it's important to listen to both sides. I listened to Bill Maher, and some guy came up there, and he said, well, I'm going to start a television station that's unbiased.
Okay.
And Bill Maher started laughing. He goes, that's impossible.
Yeah.
And I think that's true.
I do agree.
I think it's impossible to be unbiased.
Right.
And I really, this on everything I love, I believe that I'm unbiased to where I listen to whatever the situation is and I assess it. I don't care if I'm a Democrat, Republican. I don't give a shit. Right. I'm just watching, seeing what's happening. I didn't grow up in this.
Right.
And I listen to some, sometimes I listen to Fox and CNN. And I go, this is stupid.
Yeah.
On both sides. But there's too many people completely leaning one way, either way. And I think that's what's problem with our country. And talking to you now, and I don't bullshit.
Sure.
I say you told me you voted for Trump, yet you're a realistic Trump voter. There are some unrealistic Trump voters, unfortunately.
Totally.
And they're making you look bad.
Yeah.
Because
but here's, I mean, for me, look, there's absolutely nothing I can do within government that is going to make that is going to make any difference in anybody else's world. I am not a politician, I'll say it, even if I went in and said, look, here's what I want to do, and this is my platform, the platform is going to change. It's going to change because our government is run by big business. Mm-hmm. Our government is, you telling me that we still allow smoking?
Exactly.
Knowing what it does to people, and I smoked for 27 years, mm-hmm. but knowing the cost that it caught with healthcare, mm-hmm. knowing what it does to people, knowing that it just, if you smoke, you're going to die. If you smoke, you're going to die. Okay, the drugs, the chemicals, all the bullshit that's put into it. But you look at some of the biggest contributors to political has to do with tobacco companies. It has to do with the big business and that stuff.
And pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceutical, they are in the business of creating customers, not creating cures. If we cured cancer today, where is the money going to come from with us trying to do research and trying to support and fund everything else that has to do? And I have, my father just was cleared of pancreatic cancer, stage 3, ran his, it sucked. I'm watching my father go from this grandiose man down to an old man because of cancer. Mm-hmm. A girl that I'm dating who I just met a couple weeks ago has cancer, lives through it. But if... You're kidding me.
It seems like it gets everybody.
It's disgusting.
It is. And when I try to be a rational person.
Yeah.
And what's the rationalization in cigarettes being legal and marijuana not?
And marijuana not. Like, nobody, as I sat in front of my weed guy in LA a couple of weeks ago, and I said, hey, look, I'm really not sure if I want to smoke this or what. And he looked at me and said, nobody's ever died from smoking weed.
Ever.
So.
Not one time.
I love the studies. But guess what? DUI? Now. We had a conversation about Uber. Here's a question. I want to know the decrease in DUI since Uber really started. Uber, Lyft, rideshare, whatever it is. And I also want to know the increase in sales of booze in bars.
Correct.
Based on that time. Because I do not drive.
I don't. Look, I do drive. I'm not the guy to drink and drive. I'm not. Because I'll be
one passionate. Drink and drive?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Even two.
Okay.
But I weigh over 300 pounds, so I can do two drinks.
You can do, you know what
I mean? I make sure I'm in the situations where I don't do stupidness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, Uber, to me, I fought it forever.
Really?
I fought it. It's stupid. It's a taxi. And then finally, I go, okay, let me get this stupid app, Uber, stupid. And then I ordered one car. And I'm watching it go, I'm like, oh my God.
Holy shit.
This is the biggest thing.
I got to hurry up.
I go, this is the, and the
he's
guy,
gonna be
he's
here
coming
any
right now. And here he comes.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the best. And I get out, like he goes, all right, thank you. And I'm like, I don't have to give you my money.
Hold on,
or nothing.
Wait. Do I?
Yeah.
Can I shake your hand or something?
I'm like, what?
Like, and then reach around?
If you go somewhere and get, you know, I have three, I have different personalities. There's Ian, there's Nathan. Nathan is very suave and debonair.
I like him.
And then there's Cornelius.
Uh-oh.
Don't trust
he's
him.
He's a motherfucker.
Don't trust Cornelius. I mean, he's lying to you. You know what I mean? But Cornelius can just jump in the back of the Uber.
Right.
Say, take me home. And I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Because there's been times where I've been in a taxi. Like, where do you live? I'm like, yeah, it's over there.
Home.
Where the train tracks.
Home. Hit me now. Yeah. This is where I am. The guy calls you.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Sure.
And then,
it's gorgeous.
It's the best.
The other day, a guy picked me up at my house in a Tesla. in a Tesla.
I had an Uber X Tesla a couple weeks ago.
With the suicide doors.
It cost me $26 because I had a credit to get to the airport, and I'm riding in a Tesla.
Isn't that great?
It was awesome.
Whoever invented that, I just, God bless
you.
Well,
there's a lot of controversy with what's happening with them right now on the business end because, you know, they have a million drivers, whatever the number is, and not one of them is a full-time employee.
Correct.
So there is no full-time benefits. World with that because they're all 1099. Mm-hmm. So you're not paying benefits. You're not paying taxes on that.
Still
you're,
brilliant.
You're, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but old boy can work all day on the way home, switch on his Uber. They do that.
I have a guy who every now and then, and in Philly, I kind of see some rotations every now and then. Mm-hmm. I have a guy who works for the parking authority. Fuck the parking authority. and he works for them, and he leaves at 5 o'clock, and then he runs his Uber for 2 hours. He said, sometimes I end up close to my house, so I just shut it off if I'm home.
That's
I don't
it.
Have to do it anymore. Other times I may end up in Center City and have to take it home after that. But, I mean, more power to them. And some of these people, the really good ones, are entrepreneurs.
They're
doing it the right way. They've got water in the back. They've
what does
got
a Tesla
tissues.
Cost?
I don't know, $85,000?
So you're a taxi driver? Or you're
in a Tesla.
In a Tesla.
Well, but they're Uber Black. So they do a lot of, I have seen them as an Uber Black, mm-hmm. but I've seen... I've gotten an Uber X and I've had a Tesla.
That's amazing.
So, and I've gotten picked up.
I don't think you're getting picked up too much in Tampa.
I love Uber, man.
I really do. I mean, that's
I have
one
had
of those things.
Some great conversations with Uber drivers where I've missed exits because I'm talking. Like yesterday, I had a woman yesterday. We were having a great conversation. She worked at Busch Gardens for 15 years. Mm. She got tired of being, she was a tram operator. She was in travel, as she said, or transportation. She was a tram driver. Mm-hmm. She was super cool. She was probably 450 pounds.
Okay.
McDonald's on the front seat.
Yeah.
Like, and I sit in an
loves
Uber
Mickey
X.
D's.
I sit up
loves
front.
It.
I sit up front in an Uber
See,
X.
I sit in the back.
Nope. Up front. I have conversations, man. I want to talk to you. I take pictures with you.
Really?
I take selfies. I've got Uber interviews that I've had.
What?
I have a guy that I posted a couple months ago in San Diego who has the perfect gate for... quarter game plan for how to drink. For this is what he teaches his daughters.
Really?
I mean, I've met amazing people in Ubers. Yeah.
See, I'm gonna get a Viceland sponsorship. You're gonna get an Uber sponsorship, and life is.
But
gonna
I've
be
had
good.
I've had some shit Uber experiences. I was in Rockford, Illinois, and I had two Ubers who literally said, "I'm not taking you to O'Hare, and get out of my car."
Why?
Because it was too far for them to drive. They didn't want to drive to O'Hare.
I've heard that before.
So I posted that shit. I got credits.
That's crazy. I love Uber. Now, I'm not going to keep you too much longer. If I go to Brian Duffy's house and you're trying to impress me with a meal, what do you come at me with?
I come with my ribeye, man.
Ribeye?
Ribeye. I sear it with Maldon salt, smoked black pepper. I sear it off in the pan for about a minute each side. I just let it sit, and then I pop it into a sous vide bag. I let it sit for 119 degrees for an hour and a half, and then I put it in the refrigerator for a little while to let the juices settle and just sit.
What?
And then I pull it out of there. I cut it open. I have a huge cast iron skillet that I use.
Oh,
I walk outside to my garden. I grab fresh thyme, fresh rosemary. I come back inside. I crush up 3 cloves of garlic. I take Kerrygold butter, which is one of the best butters that you can buy. It's awesome. It's an Irish butter.
Mm-hmm.
Pop it in the pan with a little bit of some extra virgin olive oil. And then I put my steak right inside of there on that butter that's not fully melted yet. That crust starts to form on the outside. And what I do is I move it around the pan. A little bit. We're good.
I'm not even done.
I'm just letting you know.
I know you're
brother.
Not. Go ahead.
So
I'm going to stop you.
After that, I pop the rosemary and the butter and the garlic into that fat, that oil and all the good stuff.
Mm.
And then I flip the steak over and then I start to baste the steak with the spoon. I get all that fat, that butter, that rosemary, that garlic, that thyme, and I just start to crust up the top of the steak. I do that for about 2 minutes each side, about 3 times, because I want to raise the temperature on the inside again. And then I pull it out. And I set it down for about 4 or 5 minutes, just let it sit on a cutting board, let all the juices rest, and then you slice into it, and that's the way to go. There you go. You
that's
are more
it.
Than welcome to take a moment to yourself. I'm not sure, but I think I'm seeing an erection on a 300-pound black
Simply
man.
Put, that's how he makes his steak.
That's how I make my steak.
Now, I'm literally going to look into the sous vide thing today.
There's a company called Anova. They make a very good one that's good for your house.
Anova?
A-N-O-V-A. It's about $150. You can get them on Amazon. There's an app. You can put into your app... pork chop, and it'll pull up 3 or 4 different recipes that are just really good.
You can make more than one.
You can follow whatever you want. You can make more than one. Like, I take chicken thighs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when I'm eating healthy, I'll go to Whole Foods, where I go through my purveyor and I get a whole bunch of free range chicken and stuff. And I'll take chicken thighs and I just take mustard, lemon, a couple, some herbs and black pepper and salt, toss it into a bag, sous vide it for 2 hours at 155 degrees.
That's it.
And then I pop it into my refrigerator. So then when I'm ready and I've come home like banged up, shit faced and taken chicken thighs out of a sous vide, butter, sear it crispy outside and just sit there and eat it.
Are you a drunk cook? You're a drunk cook when you come home?
Yes.
See, I've been known, that's Cornelius now, it's not me. I'm a nice guy.
Right.
Cornelius has been known to threaten people to kill them if they don't take him to Taco Bell.
Oh, see, Taco Bell is just...
And I don't like Taco Bell, but Cornelius loves Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 a.m.
If I'm at Taco Bell or White Castle...
Now, if there's no White Castle here, if there's White Castle, screw Taco Bell. If there's White Castle, I'm not going to Taco Bell.
Oh, no, no,
I
no
love
way. Yeah, absolutely.
White Castle.
There's just in Covington, Kentucky, just over the bridge. Covington? Yeah, just over the bridge from Cincinnati. And I did a lot of stuff in Cincinnati.
Really?
What a great city.
Since I came very close to signing with the Bengals.
Yeah.
What year
was this?
That would have been back in like 95-ish, okay. Something like that.
So Cincinnati is an entirely different
I've
world
heard that.
Now.
I've
it
heard
is
that.
A beautiful city.
I've heard that.
The Art Deco, they have a hotel there called the Netherland, which is based, which was modeled after the Empire State Building.
Really?
It is absolutely stunning. Beautiful.
It's an up-and-coming city, I heard.
It's a great city.
I really have heard that.
I've got clients over there that have 18 restaurants.
The food's good there, Cincinnati?
Food is beautiful. I did a place down there called, Nick and Drew Lachey. Nick Lachey from 98 Degrees. I did their restaurant. We did the food there. I did the food at a place called Keystone. We just kind of updated their mac and cheese that they do. Mm-hmm. They sell like 500 a day.
500 mac and cheeses a day?
Yeah. And it's like 15 different versions.
And that's your creation?
Half of the recipes were mine, yeah.
So, wow. I mean, so you...
I do comforty, really fun food.
Yeah, you do.
That's the stuff that I do.
Do you get compensated well for doing that kind of stuff?
It all depends on the deal that I do. I mean, there's deals where I just... You know, I charge a set rate to design a menu up to 25 items.
Okay.
Based on the complexity of the menu. Like, I'm doing a property in Indianapolis right now. And the menu's pretty straightforward and pretty simple. But what these clients asked me to do was they wanted to do something that Indianapolis is not doing. They wanted to see something bigger than Indianapolis is doing on the main strip. So that main strip through Indianapolis is all college bars. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm doing 4 different versions of toast. So, like, I'm doing an avocado toast. I'm doing one that's got a poached egg on top
of it. I love a good avocado toast.
So do I.
So
I'm doing a ramen dish. I'm doing a little noodle dish with a really good broth. I'm doing a version of a cacio pepe, which is, like, my go-to pasta dish. Cacio pepe is the original Roman form of Alfredo, which is pecorino romano, pasta water with that starch in it, which thickens up, and black pepper.
I should have ate before this. I didn't.
Dude.
But now my stomach is gurgling. I need to get something.
I had an Embassy Suites breakfast. Mine's gurgling.
Yeah, yours is gurgling too.
Yeah.
Now, how often do you come to Tampa Bay?
Pretty much once a month now. I'll be down here, give or take. Yeah, I won't be back until probably mid to late August, but yeah.
So
we'll play.
When are you heading out?
I leave Saturday morning.
Like literally, I'm giving you an invitation to my place.
I would love maybe we tape there.
No, seriously,
we're doing a drunk podcast on Friday night.
Well, my house is gonna have the most drunk
and it's
people.
All the girls.
No,
it's Kathy and Monica.
Oh, they no, please,
yeah,
please bring them.
Yeah,
I love both of them, no doubt about that. We're gonna have some interesting people. Now, let's get that done.
All right.
We
just found our location.
We're gonna be cooking and absolutely. Yeah. No.
And then I want you. Are you around tonight?
Tonight is Thursday. Yeah, I'm DJing tonight.
Okay.
I'm DJing.
I was gonna say, why don't you meet me at the Lion's Den?
What time?
You tell me. I'll give you my number. You tell me. And because I want you to come on to my podcast as well. This relationship
is
not
over. Oh, yeah.
This is not
over. No. Absolutely not.
Social mixologist.
Yeah, we got some stuff. We got a lot of stuff in common.
Yeah.
And we're going to hang out. Know that. If you're here once a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me one restaurant in Tampa an inside scoop that you know of. You been to the Z Grill yet?
No.
I'm going to bring you to the Z Grill.
You know what I like? I like Dats.
Dats is fantastic.
I like Dats.
But Dats is not an underground one, though. That's
no,
pretty
no, no.
much.
I like Dats, and then I went to, I've been to a couple, I suck with names.
Have you been to Dats' offshoot Cajun place, Rue?
No.
Well, that's right by my house.
Okay.
So we can take you there. They have some wonderful, the char-grilled oysters.
Oh, that's what you were talking about this morning.
Yeah
I'm good with that.
That Rue is excellent.
I love oysters.
I love oysters in any way. Oyster shooters, doesn't matter. Any way I can do them.
I'm a connoisseur because I believe, oysters are like a wine. Oysters take on the characteristic of where they are, what they do. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's got a crisp lettuce, salty finish. Mm-hmm. Like, what exactly does that mean? You put an oyster into a person's mouth. And the first time, if you're with me and you've never had an oyster before, you eat the oyster the way it was intended. You don't put lemon juice. You don't put cocktail. You don't put anything on it. It's the oyster in your mouth. You crack it on the roof of your mouth. The oyster explodes on the inside of your mouth, and then you swallow it from that point. Like, really? That's the way to eat an oyster.
See, I'm learning, and I love it. Yeah. But I like learning from somebody who I know you learned it. You learned from somebody who's a master.
Well, I learned how both my parents were awesome cooks. Mm. My mother was, I always joke around, I was trained classical French. My mother was trained classical 70s. So there was always like a ring mold or a jello mold or something stuffed. Mm-hmm. And I will never take that away from her. That's an amazing thing that she did. She raised four kids with my father, and my father was the adventurous cook. My mother was making stuffed chicken breast. My father was doing stuffed veal shoulder with pepperoni, egg, and breadcrumbs. So it was like I got the best of both worlds with that.
Yeah, you did.
And both my brothers are great cooks. They just got two Emmys for their TV show called Eat the World. It's on Amazon. It's with Emeril Lagasse. Beautiful show. They do a lot of culinary stuff. My sister's a phenomenal cook. Like, my daughter goes to culinary school during the summer. My 13-year-old, my 16-year-old eats pasta. Actually, they eat everything.
They do.
But it's a big part of our life.
Well, I tell you what, I'd like you to come Friday, and my son's there. He works at a restaurant. And
oh, cool.
I know his boss tells me he's great.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know if that's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
But he's good at it, though.
It's a tough world,
man. It is a tough world.
It's a thankless business. And now as a chef, it's a big world that we live in.
Sure.
But it's a thankless business, man. You're a number, and you are replaceable. I have a very good friend of mine who says you're not important, you're valuable. And then your value can change. Sure.
That's what and the thing is, you go back 20 years, first of all, there wasn't that many chefs, okay?
No. Now everybody's a chef.
It's cool to be a chef now. It really is.
You should sit in my house when I go through resumes. And read. Oh, I was the line chef. I was a saute chef.
Yeah.
I was the grill chef. I was chef means head of the brigade. You are a chef when you are overseeing a kitchen. Now you could be the chef at the Embassy Suites or the chef at the Hilton Garden Inn.
Sure.
You could also be the chef at Le Bernardin in New York. Mm-hmm. Overseeing a kitchen is what being a chef is. The art of that and everything that follows through with that makes you a culinarian. There's a different world with that. Chef is that you run a kitchen.
Just being able to cook is not a chef.
Just being able to cook is not a chef.
And I've actually said that. People are like, this guy's a chef. I'm going, dude, no. Yeah. Chefs, they go to school, they learn.
It's not even school.
It's not even the school part. It's the management part.
It's the overseeing of it. I say all the time, you can be the greatest cook in the world, and you can have accolades going out the world, but if you don't understand the business of it, in 6 months you're the greatest chef without it. You're the greatest cook without a job.
Well, some of the greatest athletes couldn't coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's about being a leader and being a teacher as well.
Absolutely. I believe in the education of it, every part of it.
I do as well. Anyways, Brian Duffy, thank you, brother.
My pleasure.
I have a feeling we're going to do this again.
I think so as well.
And I got a feeling we're going to sit across from each other I'm going to get you into some Touch Vodka and soda.
Okay.
We're going to get you some Touch Vodka.
We'll do some Touch. I'll try it.
Local. Yeah,
I'm not
going to. No, you're not going to poo-poo it.
No.
I know you're not.
I mean, I can't knock it if I haven't tried it.
There you go.
And you never know. I could love it.
And the next morning, if your head hurts, I apologize.
That's all right. Because you know what? I feel we're going to have a good time.
We might have 20 double talls like you were talking about. We might get that done. If people want to get in touch with you, social media, how do they do it?
I'm pretty straightforward. I'm at Chef Brian Duff, CHEFBRIDUFF on Instagram and Twitter, Chef Brian Duffy on Facebook. And then I do a podcast as well through RadioInfluence.com that is called Duffified Live. And it airs almost, not always, sometimes every Friday.
Oh, that's pretty much every Friday.
Trust me.
I believe it.
Yeah.
We've done every Friday here for a while. I don't believe I've missed one. Have I missed one? I don't believe I've missed one. So we've been pretty consistent to this point, but I'm sitting in this beautiful lounge, so it's easy for me to get things done.
Yeah, well, you have people here. I have to get people on Skype, and
that
I have
makes
to get
it a little
them all
tougher.
Over
through
hotels and internet, and it really sucks trying to make it happen.
Well, I'm
sometimes.
Not always rounding up dignitaries like yourself. A lot of times I'm doing it myself, and
what I'm doing this week. I'm doing it myself, I think.
Beautiful, but let me know if you ever need a sidekick, brother.
I will.
I'll be right there, definitely. You can get me at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles, and this has been Flavor in the Year, and if you love to cook and entertain and eat as we do. This has been a wonderful show. It's been enlightening for me. I've learned a lot, and thank you again, Brian.
My pleasure. Thank you, man.
Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put your flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here is in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor.
This is Vincent Hill. You've seen me on CNN, HLN with Nancy Grace, Al Jazeera, and True Crime with Aphrodite Jones, just to name a few. Now I've got my own show on Radio Influence, and I'll be taking you beyond the badge. I'll take you behind the scenes and into the minds of those following and investigating America's top news stories. Beyond the Badge with me, Vincent Hill, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Radio Influence family. Let's enjoy this ride as I take you beyond the badge.